A group of zebras is called a dazzle, and a group of bards is called a college. That's what this podcast is all about. Bards College is where storytellers, artists, musicians, creators, people who just have an interesting tale to tell can gather and share some of their adventures, share some of their insight, and maybe things that they've learned along the way. And today is certainly no different. My co-host, my Aunt Wendy and I, that's not three people, that's two people. My co-host, who is my Aunt Wendy and myself, we chat today with Lloyd Kenwright, who is owner of Valhalla Training Academy in Liverpool, England, and has a tale of going from helicopter pilot to totally hardcore Viking gym owner. So it's an awesome story. We talk a lot about his journey and just what it, you know, some of the obstacles that maybe were overcome. Also, we get into obviously some geek talk and all kinds of good fun stuff. So enjoy, have fun, and here we go. Awesome. Well, hey, super excited because here today we have Mr. Lloyd Kenwright joining us all the way from England. We were just talking before I hit record here about how long we've known each other. I was trying to think about it too. I think we connected. Do you remember what was that app?
Photocracy.
Photocracy.
Yeah. The less said, the better, I suppose, about that app.
Yeah.
It's not, just in case anyone's wondering, it's not like a swingers app or anything like that. It was solely specifically meant for fitness related progress, so people could try and make, like, it was like trying to be a mix between Facebook and a tracker app, wasn't it, for your training?
Yeah, it was like, yeah, you'd track workouts and then get points. Well, I remember I had joined that app because I was trying to find a more fun way to track workouts. And then
it was good.
I think it was nice. Yeah, it was pretty decent. And then I remember I got this, like, it was like, you might like to connect with these people. And I see this profile picture pop up of this bearded looking Viking guy. And I was like, connect.
Yeah.
And we connected. And then I was like, this guy's hilarious. And before you start realizing it, we start realizing, okay, we have like kind of like a, maybe a geek culture connection as well, music stuff. And then we connected on Instagram and the rest is history, right? But that was years ago.
Because everyone, the problem with that app was everyone was taking themselves very seriously on it. And that's not really, that's not how we roll kind of thing. So I just started taking selfies in the shower all the time, like, or with a beer in my hand or just in the shower, whatever. And then, a lot of people. And then.
And people didn't like that.
No, huh? A lot of people kind of just didn't really like that. And then it kind of just changed after that, where they just kept being. They'd kick everything off. If you tried to have a joke or. I don't know. It just went really weird to the point where I wasn't enjoying it anymore. It
wasn't fun anymore.
No.
It was all supposed to be serious business.
Yeah. Like fitness is supposed to be. Yeah. You can't have this much fun in fitness.
I don't even know if that – is it still going, that app, or is Photocracy still going? I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't want to look.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, don't re-sign back in. Don't re-sign back in. You're going to get a bunch of spam. So I guess that kind of brings us to why we were, wanting to chat with you too anyways, because, talking about fitness.
Mm.
I mean, you've got, I think, what sounds like an awesome history here because – right now, maybe if you don't mind, maybe introducing yourself a little bit to everybody, right? Like, where do you live? What are you up to these days?
So, my name's Lloyd Kenwright. I'm from Liverpool in England. I own a gym called Valhalla Training Academy, which has been going for since 2007, which basically I don't really like saying it's a gym because I try and get people to come out the shells a lot in it. It's for physical and mental wellness, shall we say. And I just try and get people to train and be social in a fun and I'm trying to make it as least intimidating as possible environment for people. But I suppose when you kind of do like a North themed gym, some people get intimidated by it, but that wasn't my intention. It wasn't an intention to be like a bro gym of like, oh, Vikings. It was just to try
and get,
I mean, I can never really think how to explain it properly, but I sometimes feel like people have kind of lost their roots of how to just kind of train naturally. And like, it doesn't have to be going to like a pure gym or a commercial gym of just going on a treadmill or a cross trainer. You can be a bit more primal or whatever with your training.
That's a good way to describe it. Kind of primal. Well, you know, I mean, I know the kind of things you're posting with the gym, it's totally like, people crawling all over the place, throwing axes,
just having fun.
Hucking balls in the air. And then you have like this massive Halloween party where everybody shows up and basically like sword fights and stuff.
Yeah. That they're getting a bit out of hand as of late, where I'm like, I need to like calm this down. People start showing up with fire. There's one guy at the last one. I was sitting there trying to like manage an axe throwing tournament, and behind me there's a guy on a unicycle just blowing fire. And I was like, who? I didn't employ him. He doesn't work here. He's just. And so it's like I need to start trying to not calm it down, because I'm glad people are having fun, but at the same time, I don't want anyone to die.
Well, you know, it's funny because thinking back to the photocracy app, like, I think I wanted to use it as an inspiration for sure, too. And I think since we met using that app, you've now since opened a gym, got all these people like joining with you, following along. You post all these fitness videos. I think I've actually gone the opposite direction and have gotten like chubbier.
It's cultivating mass.
That's a good way of putting it.
I'm calling it that.
Yeah, cultivating mass. Yes. Yeah. But that being said, I do remember when you started posting videos of using like steel mace training. Mm-hmm. And that was awesome. Like I was like, this guy is amazing with this. You do these mace like flows and these kind of things. So I totally went out and bought a steel mace and was like, this is awesome. This is a game changer. This is cool.
Well, it's the reason I got into steel mace was I used to do a lot of boxing. And then I got into Muay Thai, and through that there was a lot of sledgehammer drills that we used to do. And I just really, that was like the best part of training for me, was just using sledgehammer to hit tires with, or just to do any explosive movements with. And I just thought there's got to be more to this with it. And I started following a guy called Leo Savage, who does a fair bit with the steel mace. And then from that, I just thought, okay, I'll get into that. And that's the same kind of route. So I started doing steel mace training, and being the range, the weights, don't need from like 4 kilogram, you can get up to 30 kilogram. And so, because at the time I'd been doing a lot of training, strength conditioning, I just thought I'll get a 15 kilogram steel mace, because it's 15 kilogram, it's not. And then I ended up like nearly shattering my wrist because of me trying to be a dickhead with this 15 kilogram mace. And I was like, okay. So then I had to go right back down to
time.
And now everyone,
baby mace.
Yeah, well, I started with the 5 kilogram, and then that's the one I use the most. And I still get people messaging me saying the same thing of like, I can deadlift 200 kilogram, or I can bench plate with their 4 plates either side. What mace should I start with? And I just say, stick with 5. And then the alert will go off on my store that I've just sold a 20 kilogram mace. And it's like, okay.
Like, well, have fun with that.
And
yeah.
Then a few weeks later, it'll go ba-ding, and then I'll have sold the 5 kilogram mace. It's like, okay. So it's good for me, but at the same time.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. Well, I guess backing up even pre-gym, didn't you used to be like a helicopter pilot?
Yeah. So the long list of my career, my CV is like everywhere. So I was originally a car mechanic, which I was a car mechanic for. I started when I was about 13, just doing like Saturday jobs. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of got to a point when I was 25, I think I was. So I'm 38 now. Where does the time go? 38 now. It's 25 when I started. And I just thought, I don't want to do this forever, because there was people that I'd see in the mechanics job who had grown old, and that's all they did all their life. And I just thought, I don't want to do that. And I'd always wanted to fly. And I just thought, right. And I lived in a little flat at the time, and I'd nearly paid it off. So I thought, right, I'll need mortgage, and I'll do what I want to do, because I'd rather... I'm one of these people who kind of just jumps into stuff because I think I'd rather do it than not do it and regret it.
Right.
So I thought, fuck it, I'll do that. And so,
I
just thought I'd do that. And I became a helicopter pilot for, I think I was a helicopter pilot for 7 years. I got my private license, did a bit of flying around privately, and then I wanted to do my commercial license. And I was, it was quite horrible, really, because the commercial side of it just completely bankrupted me. Because I don't know if you know how expensive it is to fly.
No. I mean, well, I'm not helicopters, but I've looked at getting a private license for an airplane.
Yeah.
And never got it for the same reason. I'm like, well, it's way too expensive.
It was. But the way I was sold it when I got my license was that if you pass your test with this company, we'll give you a job afterwards. And I was like, okay, that'll do me. And it just kind of, as with everything that seems too good to be true, wasn't. And so I ended up having to go through the rest of it. So I think it cost me to get where I was. It must have been around 20 to 30,000 to get to.
But
it was a fucking, and it crippled me. And it got to the point where I was finishing my commercial exams, and then because everything was changing over, my license had to change, and then I ran to the end of it, and there was a big, which I won't get into because it really what riles me up to think about it, where they said, okay, you'll have to do it all again.
Oh,
and I was just like, toys out the pram.
I'm out.
I'm done.
Yeah.
And I walked away from it and thought, I'm not doing that. Everyone was out to get money from you. And I just thought, I'm not. It took the joy out of flying.
Right. And yeah. So now it's just a nightmare every time you go. And you just see the dollar
sign. The dollar sign and all the paperwork just, and everything.
I'm
not doing this anymore. So I stopped.
So then the transition. Yeah.
Well, then.
And then immediately after that did you open up the gym?
Not really, because immediately after that, I literally just had to live on the bones of my ass, just like having nothing in my bank account just to try and get it all back up. And that's why I got, because I couldn't afford to do me boxing or me Thai anymore. And so I had just used to do me steel mace, and I'd go to my gym and just try and do some mace in the background. And then they banned me from taking my steel mace in because it was deemed as a weapon. So I was like, oh, okay.
Oh.
So I just used to do it on my own all the time in my room. And I'll be honest with you, I couldn't really afford the gym membership. I couldn't afford anything at the time. It was horrible. And then as I just kind of slowly got me funds back up, I got on a unit that I just emptied out. And it's just basically like a shell where there was nothing to it. And I just said, right, I'll do my own gym. And that was my plan. Because I'd always wanted to do my own gym, but that was another one where I was like, yeah.
Right.
And then I got back into it.
Well, and, you know, that's got to be some – when you're kind of down like that too, when you've got literally nothing, but you're still – I think it's kind of an inspiration. That's probably what resonates with some people because it's like, here's a guy who you're basically showing, like you said, you can be really primal about it. You can make things work and do exercise and – lift stuff and throw things in the air and huck stuff against a wall without having to go to like a formal gym, you know, some big box gym, right? That's got treadmills and machines and that kind of stuff. It's like, you don't need a machine. You just need a big stick with a heavy ball on the end.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the steel mace, which comes from the Garda from India and Persia. It's like the oldest training tool there is. And so as far as everyone's saying it's a fad or it's just one of these things, but it's been around for, I think it's about 2,000 years, something like that. So it's one of them, like I said, one of the oldest pieces of kit that works in so many ways. So I thought, I'll bring this to people. And if you go to the very bottom of my Instagram where it is just me in like a unit, with just like bits of cement mixes everywhere, and I'm just kind of using the mace on my own. And I look at it every night. When you're having a bit of a lull or a bit of a downtime, and you're like, this isn't working. So I look back to where it was, and I'm like, okay, I'm low, but not as low. And that's how I kind of...
Right.
It could be worse. Yeah, that's...
It appeals to me on a level when you were first describing even that. First of all, I'm impressed because I'm always in awe of people who just sort of take command of their life and choose the next thing. I think everybody isn't conscious enough to do that. Mm. And so I'm always impressed. I think that was a big reason I wanted to be in on this conversation, because I am always trying to glean that from anybody I can talk to, see somebody who can choose their path and say, nope, time for a left turn. You know, I'm going to stop here and go somewhere else, because we don't, the majority of humans do not do that. But here's where I'm impressed. I have two daughters and I'm a grandmother, but when my youngest daughter had her first baby, she was just this really great instinctive mom, but not in the traditional way. And when I would talk to her, because I was a mess as a new mom, she said, I just try to think, if it was me and this baby in a cave, what would I be doing? How would I be taking care of this baby? If I was sitting in a cave with him, how would I take care of him? I would sleep with him. I would breastfeed him. I would do all these things. And that has guided her parenting. He's now 5 and she has another one that's 2. And she just guides her parenting back to that more primal idea that there's a more natural way to do this than all the trappings of what we've taken on. So I'm hearing you take that approach with fitness. Mm. We are fighting all of this with this idea that we have to have a costume and a certain look before we can even walk in, and certain pieces of equipment and all of these trappings. And in some ways that impedes us, I think, more because we're intimidated by it when we don't feel like we fit, as opposed to just going back to the basics of we just need to be moving more. We don't stand or walk or do any of the things as much as our bodies were supposed to originally. So I'm impressed by that. That speaks to that part of me. That's connecting those dots for me. I'm hearing my daughter's voice. I'm hearing you talk about that idea that you can go back to something that people have done for thousands of years, just in either the natural course of their life or, what would naturally have kept people fit in those, basic days. So I'm impressed. Just color me impressed, because on multiple levels, but that's what I'm hearing. Yeah. That's my comment.
No, thanks.
I have no question other than I'm impressed. Yeah. And it just to hear you say, and then I decided not this anymore, now this, I just think that's, I'm always intrigued by that. Do you come from adventurous people to begin with? Were your parents adventurous? I mean, I'm not delving in therapeutically, but I'm always curious. Yeah.
Tell us about your mother.
How does somebody become that? Yeah, how was your relationship with you? How do you feel about that, Lloyd? Yeah, but I'm always intrigued. Are the people around you, do you have other people in your life that sort of fed that kind of attitude towards, taking charge of your life and being what you want to be?
No, my parents are very, very work-driven, but I don't mean that to a flaw. I mean, as in, like, my dad, he was always, when you're a kid and like, your parents work a lot and you're kind of like, oh, why does my dad never come to me school play or anything? But then you get older and you kind of realize, and you're like, all right, this is why my dad was always working, because he had 5 kids.
Yeah.
So I could never see him because he was always working and he had to do a lot and he had to sacrifice a lot of time, which when you get older, you kind of respect it a lot and you think, I feel a bit of a dickhead when I was young for being like, oh, my dad never came to do this, or he never. And he worked his balls off to provide for his family. And that's pretty much the ethic that I always get from Sutton, that if something isn't working, I'll have to change it to make it work because I can't afford for it not to. And that's how I live it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I make mistakes along the way. My attitude with a lot of things is feet first, which is a good thing and a bad thing at the same time, where sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I'd say I got a lot of that from me mum and dad, to be honest with you, because theirs was the same. My mum did a fair few jobs that she had to when she was growing up to get whatever had to be done, because with my dad starting his business, it was the same thing. So, yeah, it pretty much comes from that, really. Just the workers ethic of my parents.
Well, and you've got a couple of daughters too, right? That's right. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I've got, no work ethic. Yeah, mom, dad, if you're listening to this.
Just going to let me open the Viking gym. Yeah, gosh, damn it.
Well, no, when I put the idea to the gym, to my dad, he was very like, no. I'm not gonna lie and say everyone was like, yeah, do it. Because if everyone told me, yeah, do it, it'd be a success, I think I'd have me doubts.
You have doubts. Like, you'd be like, this seems a little too good.
Yeah, when you're surrounding yourself with yes men, and it's a bit like, whereas I'm lucky because me family isn't like that, and a lot of my friends aren't like that, where they'll just kind of be like, no, I don't think that'll work. So then it's weird because I don't want yes men around me, but if people tell me no, I'll be like, I'm going to do it. So there's no way really you can win in that one, I suppose, because I'll do it either way.
Well, you got this set up and going like right. I mean, pre-COVID.
Yeah.
How did COVID affect everything?
Well, bloody hell, that's like, how long have we got? So
all of us.
Yeah, I mean that probably just shut everything down, right?
Well, I think it kicked off around March, was it, in 2020?
Yeah.
I think. So they didn't originally close gyms.
It was like Febtober 19.
You know when you're trying to remember the order of stuff and what happened when, and it's like, hang on, was that the whole 20 to 2021 was like a massive blur?
I mean, in my mind right now, it's like, it's like COVID, and then I think it was like the Berlin Wall fell.
Yeah.
And then I think, after that, I think it was the Titanic, something like that.
Yeah. It's all in that.
Yeah. It's all in that kind of year period.
Yeah. The top of the statue of Stalin. It was all there. But no, it was because I was still a mechanic at that point. I got mixed up between Stalin and Saddam there, but yeah. I'm sure they did the same to Stalin. So when everything happened, I was still a mechanic on the side as well as running the gym. So I was running two gyms, and part of me was always like, I'm never going to get out of this mechanic job. It's always going to be there in the background. And so they put everyone on furlough. I can't remember what date that was. But basically, they put everyone on furlough, so the gyms were closed, and the garage was closed. So I basically said to people, because you weren't allowed the gyms, I said to a lot of the members, look, if you aren't paying your membership, you can take equipment home and treat it like a library. So bring your equipment back, and then I'll exchange it. And that was the only way I could keep it going. Whereas the garage was just, it shut completely. We'll pay you, I think it was like 75% of the wage or something like that. And then when everything started going back to normal the first time, that was inverted commas.
The first time. Yeah.
And it was like, right, everything's going to open back up. And the garage said, okay, what we'll do is we'll take you back on, but we'll take everyone back on in shifts. So that, because we're not busy enough to do all the work, we'll just take people back on in shifts. And so I just said, right, tell you what, instead, I'll just stick with the gym and you give my shifts to other mechanics. And I've seen it as like, this is my chance to step away. And so I handed in my resignation and said, right, I'm going to do the gym full time now. And that was it was scary, but at the same time, it was like, this is my way out of the garage life now.
Yeah. Kind of like liberating at the same time.
Yeah. And then, again, it wasn't like I planned it out. I was literally there as they were talking to me, and I was like, I've got to take this moment. And so I went home that day and told my wife at the time what I'd done, and that wasn't a very good thing, supposedly, because then I'd stepped away from that job, and then they announced that they were closing everything down and the gyms were shutting again. And I was like, shit. So I just... I just quit my full-time job to get me gym going, and that was closed.
That's it, yep.
And so then, so I'd lost. And then that eventually, not to go into things too much, but that led to the breakdown of the marriage kind of thing. So 2020 was like losing my original job, my marriage, my house, my gym. Everything ended up, the end of it, being technically homeless, living in my sister's house. And then kind of just kind of building everything back up from then. And then 2021, they said, oh, we'll reopen. Then they didn't. I can't even remember what happened in 2021, to be honest with you. That was...
Yeah, like, it didn't exist. Like, oh, 2021 was... Yeah. That wasn't a year. Yeah, it didn't even happen.
Yeah, it just kind of just a blur. And then eventually when the gyms did reopen, and they said, you've got to have, I think it was 6 people, you're allowed indoors. So then I had to limit it to 6 people. And then even when they eventually, towards the end of it, said, you can let anyone in, people still didn't want to come back in because everyone was still too nervous to get into environments.
Right, especially like a gym where they're thinking like, I don't want somebody sweating on me. Well,
and again, the whole appeal of my gym was, look, this is a primal gym, back to basics. It's going to be a dirty gym. And then it's like, this is going to be, this is going to haunt me.
So like, we're dirty, but in the cleanest way.
Just don't lick anything, it'll be fine.
That's right.
So I still have to, I was still there every day sterilizing everything.
Yeah. Vikings clean. Vikings don't get COVID.
Well, I originally said that if you've, you know, if you've gone to a, I mean, I don't know if you've ever trained in a dirty gym where they've got the rusty weights. And it's like, if you've ever trained in one of them, I wouldn't worry about any diseases because if you've not, you're going to get it from one of them.
Yeah, you're already immune.
Yeah. But so eventually when it all picked back up or was allowed to open again, it was still very slow because people still didn't want to train. People either didn't want to train because they didn't want to go to a gym and be around people, or they didn't want to train because through lockdown they'd either put on weight or their fitness levels had decreased rapidly, so they didn't want to embarrass. Not see, I say this from their point of view, but it didn't seem that way to me. But a lot of people didn't want to come in and embarrass themselves by being like, "Oh, I can only bench this, whereas I could have done that."
Right.
And
that makes sense.
My whole attitude to people was like, everyone suffered. Everyone is shit at the moment. So if we can all just get in and be shit together, it'll work out. And that was the best way to get people back in, to be like, look, we'll all be shit together for the time being.
That's the new t-shirt.
It's a,
right?
It's a billboard. Line. Yeah, I was going to say. Please tell me there's a shirt, and if there is, send me one because that's the shirt I want.
You know, maybe like a Che Guevara pose. Yeah. Let's be shit together.
All shit together. That's me. Send them out. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Get out the screen printer. Let's go. Yeah, we need that shirt. Oh, man. That's good. Okay, so best – I'm going to change channels here. Best music to swing a mace to. That's what I want to know from
– Ooh, it depends
from the what British point of view. Come on.
It depends what you're doing with it, really. I mean,
well,
if you
want
to,
for you, what are you going to put on? What's on when you go to start? That's what I want to know. Come on.
Again, so there's two different mace training ways. So I'll either be light mace, where I'll go with, like Dustin said before, where I'll have the flow of things and just someone.
Yeah, it's like a movement thing.
A lot of people try and diss it or bring it down by saying it's just dancing, but it is technically, and I don't really care because there's some amazing dances.
I like to dance.
Exactly, and every martial art is technically a dance when you think about it, so I'm all right with that. So if I want to do my dancing or flowing with the mace, I'll have something a bit more, not slow, I don't want to depress myself, but a bit more rhythmic. Like a metronome kind of beat.
Yeah, it's got like a rhythm to it. Yeah, beat. Yep.
Whereas if I'm doing me heavy mace, it's going to be something heavy, just a bit of rock, a bit of metal, something to kind of just
get
your brain
something
out.
To build up the adrenaline. That's right. Yeah, just get the rage out.
So, I mean, if I was going to do with the steel mace with the light one, I've been into a lot of my music taste is very eclectic at the moment.
Okay, so this is what lately, I'm hoping. Yeah, come on.
Lately, I've been into a fair bit of like kind of deep south country music.
Oh.
I don't know why. It's just okay. It's just there.
Okay.
And then I'll go from, I don't know, it's everywhere, really. It's everywhere. Are you after a specific song or?
Sure. Yeah. Tell me what's on your playlist right now. Come on. That's all right. It always tells me everything. I'm a music teacher by trade. So this is always my opening conversation with almost anybody.
That's right. Give me your song.
Yeah, what are you currently listening to? That's always good.
Currently, I'm listening to Atmosphere. Have you ever heard of Atmosphere?
I haven't.
So Atmosphere is like a two-man band, I'll say. The kind of like, it's hard to explain because they're dead kind of, I'll say hip-hop, I suppose, but it's not.
Okay.
But it's just, everything about it is like kind of just dead flowing, and the things that he talks about, it's not just like guns and bitches or anything like that. It's like one song is called... One song's called Sunshine, about how great you feel when the sun's shining. And it's like just like an R&B kind of rap tune about how good it is to feel when the sun's shining. One's about just being in a safe space. There's just, they're everywhere, but they're all just nice kind of.
Nice. Just nice. Good, like, okay. Good, solid hip hop.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of hip hop, I don't know if, you know, the American Super Bowl makes it out your way enough. Did you catch
the halftime show?
The halftime show.
I didn't, because I wanted to, but then I just kind of got bombarded with memes of 50 Cent upside down, and I just thought, I can't watch it.
Kind of like, you know what? Maybe that's enough. Maybe that's enough. I can just move on with my life.
But everyone was saying about Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre were like the main.
It was pretty fun.
One of the best things that I saw about it was because there was a lot of, you know, of course, like here in the States, we've got all kinds of fun stuff going on for sure. And politically speaking, and which you guys do too. But there was a lot of people who, when they saw that halftime show, they were kind of like, you know, it's a little too aggressive, a little too gangster. And then I also saw some other people who were like, our generation is sitting there going, this is the best. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then they just reminded us that for years, we would always be sitting there as our parents were like, when the halftime show would come on, it was always some 70s band. And our parents are all like, now see, this is music. And I totally caught myself saying that to my kids, this halftime show. I was like, it's about time they got some real music in for the halftime show.
But you'll find that, like, TikTok will kind of take all that away from you.
Yeah.
So I was in the car the other day, and my daughter, who's 13, she put on My Chemical Romance. I can't remember what song it was, but I started just singing along to it. And she was like, how do you know this song? I was like, it's been on for years. 90s. How do you know it? 90s. And after the song, and like even, what was he singing today? One of my daughters was listening to like a Fleetwood Mac TikTok thing. And she was like, how do you know this song? I was like, it's fucking Fleetwood Mac. I'll play this song in the car and you'll be like, turn this off. Yeah, as soon as it's on TikTok, it's like, this song's amazing.
Yeah, you're like, this song's older than I am. Yeah.
You get no credibility. Yeah, no credibility for good musical taste. Yeah, no. That's it. Not until TikTok grabs it.
Well, exactly. It's funny because, you know, when you started posting videos, like, I always appreciated too, because, yeah, like, you always had good music. I remember you posted something, like, one time with, like, them Crooked Vultures playing in the background. I was like, yes, that's good stuff. And so I would start showing some of your videos to my kids as well, because I was like, this guy is awesome. Like, and I would show him stuff. And the one that was probably on repeat in our house for a long time, you had done a series, Slapping a Mannequin. You remember this one? And you're backhanding a mannequin, and the look that you had on your face of backhanding the mannequin and then holding the pose. I think I have a son who, like, that became his, like, new thing. he would do the pose.
I didn't realize that video had that much.
I know, right? So you have this much influence.
That was
now,
just
right?
Basically, during lockdown, of me walking about an empty gym being like, what the fuck can I do? So I just started hitting a mannequin with my top off. I was like, fuck it, I'll make a video. Possibly in like the worst shape of my life, but like, fuck it.
Yeah, just bring it on. Yeah. It's another feet first moment. Yeah, it's another
exactly.
Moment.
That was it. I look at a lot
Take
of videos.
Take the top off, slap a mannequin.
I look at a lot of my videos with my hands on my head, like, what am I doing? I think, put it out there. Okay.
At least it's not being posted to Photocracy, where you would get
in trouble. Yeah. Yeah. For being too fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had a lot of changes going on. It sounds like, you know, the gym and then COVID. And then of course now you're, I mean, I don't want to say dating, but in a relationship of sorts with somebody who is also completely hardcore. Yeah. It seems another axe throwing, log splitting.
Yeah. She, Beth or Little Miss Chainsaw. She, I met her through Instagram. Yeah. It's weird because there's, a lady called Unag from Ireland who runs a axe throwing, a Wicklow axe throwing, I think it is, she runs, or works. She knew Beth, who lived like 20 minutes down the road from me, and said, you should check out this gym. It's got axe throwing, it's what you need. So then, yeah, just started talking through that, and we knew each other for a few years after that, and then, yeah, just one thing led to another now, and it's like, yeah, is what it is, and yeah, it's going very well. She is one of the women's. She's just doing something going on now with Timber Sports. I don't know. Do you follow Timber Sports?
I don't think. Oh, are they the ones? No. I don't. I followed. What's the guy who makes knives? like blade work.
Oh yeah, that's Dom. He does Titan blade work.
Titan blade work. Yeah. She had posted a whole bunch of knives, and then he was doing like a promotional thing, and I was like, I don't know, a knife maker? This sounds awesome. Well, so I started following him.
That's the brilliant thing about the gym is I've got to know that many people who prior I was just like, do these people exist? And now it's like I've got like,
yeah, what were they doing before, right?
Yeah. Well, that's it. Yeah. They all live within like 20 minutes, 30 minutes of me, and I'm like, I've got like knife throwers, knife makers, Beth, who's a chainsaw carver, and everything's there, and then you kind of have to have a platform that unlocks them, and you're like, oh, they're all on.
So, do you think because you, my husband lived in Leeds for a couple of years, and he always talked about just sort of the eight, you know, we live in just this new place where things can only be just a few hundred years old here. We just have this very modern history. And we don't have a great sense of like anything that's much older than that. We just don't, we haven't recorded it. We don't honor it in the States. It's just not something that people are willing to recognize and acknowledge. Do you think that people going back to like older skills, ancient skills, all of that is speaks a little better in Britain? Is it a thing because you have a more ancient history? Because we don't have anything like that here. We don't connect as readily. We fight it because it represents something ugly in our history that we don't really want to think about, that, you know, things existed before we got here and we didn't honor them. So because of that, we kind of ignore it. Whereas I'm hearing all these people that have tapped into sort of ancient, you know, like knives and axes and all of those things. Do you think it comes more readily? I don't know that you'd have a point of reference, but I just am curious about that part because you've got a more ancient history than we do. At least you're more acknowledging of how old your history is.
Yeah. I mean, as far as why people want to get down them roots, as for why Dom wanted to start making knives, I think it's just, I can only assume it was, I don't know. I've never really spoke to Dom about why he started doing that. I'll have to do that. But as far as like other people, I think it's just little hobbies that then get away from you. As far as trying to tap into like my heritage or anything like that, I never really thought of it like that, to be honest. Maybe.
And here's an example too. Like I remember you had posted some stuff about you and Beth had gone on like some type of camp out in like a hobbit wagon, basically.
Oh, in the gypsy wagon. The
gypsy wagon. It was awesome.
Yeah,
that was. It looked so cool.
So it was Beth again. Beth knows. I used to think that I kind of knew everyone from all walks of life, and then I met Beth, and she's like, "Oh, we'll go see my friend Barney, who does these gypsy holidays." It's a And I was like, what? This is a thing? So then we went up north to Appenway and then spent the weekend in just like a little gypsy horse-drawn cart, which was like, it was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Wanderlust, it's called Wanderlust Horse-Drawn Holidays. And
yeah,
it was just like, we had like a weekend where we'd stay in one spot and then the horse would take us to another spot and we'd stay there. And it was just amazing. Mm-hmm.
That sounds amazing. Well, and I think about that too, like what Wendy's saying. I think like I can't think of anywhere here nearby where I could be like talking to my wife and say, hey, I found a gypsy wagon. Like the landscape and the atmosphere doesn't even, it won't even do it justice. Like if I were to post pictures of me and my wife in a gypsy wagon where we live, I think people would think I completely lost my mind.
Yeah, but can't you do like a kind of city slickers holiday or something?
That's right. There you go.
Well,
yes.
Yeah. That's true. Well, it's interesting because we live on the two coasts. And so Dustin, where he is, the history on the East Coast, of course, goes back a little further because people didn't move this far west. You know, at least European folks didn't move this far west for, later, mid-1800s, really, by the time we really got going here in California because of the gold. But just between it, anybody here that's going to go historically, backward, just sort of goes to about the 1800s and stops. So we have sort of a Wild West mentality of what our frontier history is or whatever, but we don't go further back than that into cooler things.
It's not to say I wouldn't be willing to go on a gypsy ride.
I would go in a heartbeat today. Yeah, pull up with a horse and a gypsy wagon. I am in it. I am there for the next 4 weeks.
Well, I'm just saying the difference between that wagon and the backdrop of the UK versus that wagon and the backdrop where we would be.
Yeah,
it doesn't even.
Well, surely there must be some greenery, some forest.
Oh yeah, there are. There's just I think it's true though. It'd be like,
is it more artificial or?
I don't know. There's something about like you see those like British landscapes and the Scotland and Ireland and all this stuff, and it's like, yeah, it's got this like I don't know. Yeah.
Scotland.
Maybe I'm just
Scotland's like another level of. But when we went, I went up north to do like a stone lifting tour. And we went to the very north of Scotland, and that was just like, wow. It was something just incredible. Just haven't seen before. And it's bizarre how, like, I've lived on this island for 38 years and I've never thought to go up north and be like, oh.
Yeah. Wait, I haven't been there yet. Well, we're actually planning, I got to let you know, me and my wife are actually planning on taking our two oldest out to the UK this summer. We're going to try to do a Scotland, England tour. Mm-hmm. We definitely got to stop by and check out your gym. Yeah. if we come in, we're definitely showing up and we're going to throw some maces around. But
we're about to see you going in Scotland.
Oh yeah.
We don't know. So I've got Scottish history all through. Well, both of us do through our family. And so I don't know. We're trying to kind of map it out right now. We're thinking like, come into London, spend some time there. Drive up or take the train up into Scotland, go Edinburgh, maybe up kind of the northern coast or something. I don't know. We're still mapping it out. But we're super excited. It's been a trip we've been planning for a long time. We've never been, so looking really forward
to it. Would that be the first time you've been abroad since everything's kicked off or?
Yeah. So, since COVID stopped. Yeah. So this will be our first big trip. Since then, but I've been down to like South America. I've been to France, but never the UK. Mm.
Yeah. Are you anyway, Wendy?
No, I am a, Canada, Mexico, but that's why I'm so intrigued. I went the start a family young and, did that my whole 56 years. So yeah, we're just now at that point too. I need to get to Scotland. That's top of my list, I think. Mm. But I'm, I'm a Scottish heritage girl and then my husband is Norwegian. So, we've got places we need to get to. So we'll start as soon as COVID makes it easy so we can go where we want to go and not get stuck anywhere. Mm. Make sure it's all settled. But yeah, I don't know. If I get stuck, I'll get one of those gypsy wagons and just hang out. Yeah, that sounds like a great time to me. Yeah.
So, cool. You know, so definitely on this podcast, at least, I mean, we talk a lot, all things geek as well, for sure. That always seems to kind of be a common thread with everybody we talk to. And that was another way that we connected.
Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, where do we go? Where? Because that's it. You know, I was like, okay,
here's the way for all y'all. Yeah, none of you are getting beat up because I was willing to be dorky way before. Yeah, I got a whole generation worth. I used to get beat up for this stuff. It was like, down on the low. My nephew, Dustin's kids, my great nephews came bounding up to me one day and they're like, Aunt Wendy, we heard you like to play Dungeons and Dragons. I'm like, shh, kid. Can't talk about it. They're like, it's so cool. Oh, I'm like, oh, you're standing on my shoulders now. My shoulders. Yeah. Dirty and be cool at the same time because of me.
Well, yeah, you're into a lot of stuff. Like, I know you do game and stuff, and I would always laugh too because yeah, with your daughters, you know, you got them well educated with the things that are. And then you're also like painting steel maces now.
Yeah,
with you got like a Jack Skellington one.
I've done a fair few. The ones that seem to do the best are I try to be that artsy with it and do like kind of individual patterns, but no one wanted them. People just want like a head with teeth on a mace. Right. So it always had to be like Venom or Carnage or Jack Skellington.
Yeah.
Or what was the last one? The World Eaters from Warcraft Warhammer, sorry. Just anything really that I can kind of think, how can I express? And I also wanted to do like a little, with my gym, I wanted to start doing this beforehand, like a little side business of nerddom t-shirts. To try and be like associated with the gym. So like there's a t-shirt today called They Lift, which was like just basically they live, but jacked fucking they live.
Right.
And I was really happy with that, but that just didn't take off, that one. Everyone was like, I don't get what it is. And it's like, it's They Live. What's They Live? And I'm like, it's a John Carpenter film. And like,
yeah, it's a John Carpenter.
I was so happy with that project. With the eyes, I was like, I'm so happy with it. It's going to be called They Lift, and it's going to be all about how the fitness industry is just a bit of a what's going on, but it's because they're in control. And then everyone was just like, is that what is it? Are the aliens? Are these zombies? And it's like, no,
come on.
And so, yeah, that was one of the, out of everything I've done, that is the one thing that has sold least. And I just thought maybe the world's not ready for my nerddom.
Well, that's the hard part, right? Like, I think you have an interesting combination of, you've got like kind of the hardcore primal Viking element.
Yeah.
And then when you kind of bring that, the geek culture into it, those two worlds haven't really existed very well together for the longest time. And so I think, you know, when you start to have the people who are attracted to the geek stuff, they're intimidated by the fitness buffs. And then you got the fitness buffs that are too cool or maybe too whatever to absorb this. But now that it's becoming more and more mainstream, you know, when all of a sudden it's like, come on. Like, I think about the fact that anybody on the planet now could tell you the names of the Guardians of the Galaxy 15 years ago. Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah. That's, yeah. 15 years ago, they'd be like, who are you talking about? And you would have gotten punched in the face. And so now that you can bring those together. So I keep going, Lloyd. Keep bringing those two together.
I've got a box in my loft with all my nerd stuff in that I'm like, I put it away a long time ago. And I'll get that out years down the line. It'll be worth a fortune.
Bring it out to the light.
I'm not going to my loft now. but like, I've got like a big massive case full of all my collector's cards of like Aliens vs Predator, my Thunderbirds, my Judge Dredd, all my 2000 ADs, everything. So it's like, it's waiting for its time.
That's awesome. Well, I with all the relaunches of stuff, right behind me, I've even got, ta-da. so I've completely rebought my childhood with Masters of the Universe stuff. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, bring it, bring it.
One thing I never got into was Master of the Universe. Everyone keeps telling me to watch the new series on Netflix, but
it's pretty good. Yeah, well, there's two new series. Yeah, they did like one that was a little bit more adult, and then they did one that was totally geared towards kids, and they're both good. Mm. But, you know, it was I think for me, that franchise was just, I loved the toys. Yeah. It was all about the toys. And so, you know, the story is stupid and weird, but like the characters were awesome. I mean, and they were so dumb. Like, you know, the guy with the long neck, you call him what? Mecha neck. The guy with like, who stinks, you call him Stinkor. Like, you can't
get more strict.
Yeah, Man at Arms. Yep, yep, yep.
Man at Arms.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like you can just picture the designer sitting there going, like, well, let's make a guy with a horse face. What should we call him? Horso? You know, like.
Well, and I'm sitting in my Tolkien themed guest room. So there you go. You know.
So was that the extent? Was your, when you said you were a nerd who paved the way, was it all Tolkien?
It started with Tolkien. That was the beginning. I paved the road for y'all. Yeah. And then, of course, everything that came out. I was 11 when the first Star Wars movie came out. So I was, you know, sci-fi Star Wars girl, and then everything else. And then you just got to keep up. You know, I got to be cool. I've got, you know, so all the way along. So
as a huge Tolkien fan, what's your opinion on the Ring of Power trailer? Yeah.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. I know. I think it's going to be great. I do. I think it'll be really fun to explore that, sort of a la Game of Thrones, right? It looks like to me they're going to take bits and pieces of what was already in existence. They said they don't have the Silmarils because they don't have the rights. And so they're going to kind of suggest what's behind, but it's all going to take place right in that, you know, that little third age. I think it'll be good. I think it's going to be fun. The cast looks amazing. The visuals look, it's all about how it's going to look to me. Mm. So it looks good as far as just the way they have it laid visually. I'm looking forward to it. Anything that brings it, anything that drags it into the light for another generation worth. It's been 20 years since Peter Jackson took on the other ones. And so it's time. A new generation of folks needs to have a new look at it so that hopefully it'll take them all back to the books where everybody should be to begin with, in my opinion. So it's like, if it'll make them crack open a book, I'm there for that. So
I'm not one of these people who's like, oh, you're making up new characters and the female should have beards. I'm not really bothered about that. If it's good, happy days, because I love the Lord of the Rings. I think bringing up what you said about Game of Thrones is like, I've just been hurt before.
That's right. It still burns. Yeah. It still burns.
We needed six more episodes. Yeah, I get it. I know. Well, and it's funny because that's the one little piece of it. If you figure they're going to go off book just a little bit, you know, you just hope it's well produced. But right now, I think I'm optimistic about it. I think it'll be fun. It's just like I said, anything that'll make another kid pull a book off a shelf and find out what it started it. It'll be fun.
Game of Thrones? 10 years, was it? Mm-hmm. And so this has been done for 5 seasons, Lord of the Rings, or Rings of Power.
Yeah.
And it's like, I remember when I can remember exactly when I seen the first few episodes and talking to my friends about it and the whole thing that happened with Ned Stark and being like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then 10 years down the line, and I'm like, she's like, what happened there? What, 10 years of my life just gone there. Just thrown away in 2 episodes.
Just crumbled up into a ball. And
I just, like I said, it's like, do I want...
Tossed it right over there.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, huh. Yeah. Okay. And it's like, do I want this to happen again?
Bran? Seriously, Bran? Yeah, seriously, Bran.
He has the most interesting story.
Although, I'm a fan of...
That's right.
I'm a fan of new stories, though, too, because I think new stories let us have something that surprises us. So rather than see something that we're expecting to happen, it's like, I know this is coming and I'm waiting for this event or that event to be shown, which, you know, then I think it's to be in new stories might be fun. Hopefully it'll have some surprises in it.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. I start watching it, Wendy, and 10 years down the line, it disappoints me.
Call me. I owe you. I take full responsibility. I will never get invited to the Gypsy Wagon trip. I understand. Yeah.
Witness. Yeah. Witness.
Fair enough.
Well, let's see here. Well, Matt, well, maybe while we're looking here, we're going to rapid fire you with some questions here as we wrap up.
Okay.
Thinking about this geek Frodo stuff too, right? Yeah, yep, there you go. Frodo or Bilbo.
That's the great debate in our house. Frodo or Bilbo? Come on.
Well, it depends. What's the question?
Oh, who's my better, husband, Frodo or Bilbo? Is that the question?
Yeah, my husband is a rabid Bilbo supporter and is very angry at Frodo. He feels like Frodo just sort of has this useless thing where he's just always rolling around on the ground upset. So Frodo versus Bilbo in our house.
Ooh, I'd probably have to say Frodo, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Only because I really, and this may split hairs, but I really don't like the Hobbit films. And so
I'm with you.
That's probably jarred my perception a bit. If we're talking Ian, what's his name? We played Bilbo in the films. Ian.
Oh, right.
Bilbo. Martin.
Martin Freeman played them in the originals, but in the Lord of the Rings, it was the guy who played.
Ian Holm. Yeah.
Ian Holm. So if we're talking Ian Holm, Frodo, Bilbo, I'll go with him.
Fair enough. All right. Go ahead, Dustin. What's yours?
Oh, yeah. So a couple rapid fires here for you. Rapid fires for you. Best British meal. What's the best British food to make sure we get when we come out there?
I personally like a nice gastropub meal, so I like a nice big pie and chips with peas and gravy. That's just me. I'm not very posh. So give me a big pie and chips and I'm like, ooh, I'm happy.
That's it. That's the one.
Mushy peas. How about the
one city in America you wish you could visit?
I'd have to say New Orleans, to be honest with you.
That is a wild place. I've been a couple times, and it is probably the most, like, I don't know, foreign feeling city we have. Yeah. Like, it's really interesting.
I'd say New Orleans No, I'll just stick with New Orleans.
If you pick San Francisco, there's a Lord of the Rings guest room like 25 minutes away. So, you know, there you go. San Francisco.
I'll put that in me maybe pile.
It's cozy. It's a cushy bed. There you go. It's got a theme. It's
all right. Who's the better playboy, Iron Man or Bruce Wayne?
Oh!
Are we just talking about Bruce Wayne across the board?
That's right. Yeah, because if you go with the specific actor, well, maybe that's the sub question. Who's the best Bruce Wayne?
Well, obviously it's Michael Keaton.
Yes. All right, Lloyd, you just secured it. Michael Keaton.
Yeah, he's the best Batman. As far as Playboy, I'd go with Tony Stark probably.
Yeah.
Well, Michael Keaton's the best Batman. I haven't seen our Pats yet. Robin Pats.
That's right. The verdict is out. Verdict is out.
But I'm just going to say no. It's Michael Keaton.
Yeah, we're just going to go ahead and preemptively call this one. And then last but not least, what one piece of gear are you still waiting to get into your gym?
Oh.
Ooh.
What's on your wish list that you have not yet fulfilled?
I tried to get one, but it ran out, and now I'm trying to save up for one because I can't see many people want to use it, but I want to use it, and it's a car deadlift frame. So it's a frame you put underneath cars and you deadlift them up. So that or some Husafelt stones. So the Husafelt is like...
Are those like those Atlas stones?
So the Atlas stones are the round ones. The Husafelt is like a gravestone kind of shape.
Okay.
And so in
nice.
In they've got these the Husafelt stones are like kind of the tester stones, so they're meant to like be a test of manhood. If you can lift them, then you're a man. Supposedly. How heavy are they? Well, they vary.
Supposedly.
They vary. There's a documentary on YouTube called, what's it called? I can't remember, but it's basically about the way they used to test people. I think it's called Full Staker. It's about like they have three stones. They've got Full Staker, Half Staker. I'll probably be pronouncing it completely wrong. It's been that long since I've watched it. And they have these full strength, half strength, and minimal strength or something stones. So if you want to go on a pillage, you've got to pick up these stones. And if you can pick up the heavy ones, then you get more of the loot.
I'm definitely going to check
that's kind of why we did the tour in Scotland of picking up the stones, because they have in different towns and they have these different manhood stones where back when there was like Celtic tribes and stuff, they basically say, right, until you pick this stone up, you're not a man.
You're not a man. I need to go out back and start lifting some stones before we travel.
But I've got them all, the location of them all. So when you come to Scotland, Dustin, we'll go round them.
We'll go lift some stones. All right. Well, don't judge my manhood too much based off of what I'm running by with a tiny. Yeah, that's right. I most definitely am, as I'm running with a tiny little tombstone.
The pet cemetery. Yeah. Some sort of pet cemetery stones that are just, you know, about this. Here lies Mittens.
Oh, man. Has been good, Lloyd. We'll let you get back to your day here. But, man, this has been fun catching up with you, getting to know you better. Appreciate you taking some time. This is awesome. Again, long overdue chat with you and to get to know you better. I think back again, you know, the times I was sitting at my one of my kids' like football practices. He was playing football, and somehow you and I had gotten on a chat about how we were ultimately going to get like back tattoos or something like that of of some like over the ocean club or something like that.
I think you're getting a pet cemetery stone now. Little tombstone on your shoulder.
And then we were doing like old man filters to each other and like Max Payne poses or something. I did too until I went back and I was like doing my research. Right? I got to scrub that off of there. Well, good stuff. Well, any words of wisdom wrapping it up, you know, for anybody who is interested in just, you know, following the Viking path, right?
Not really. I mean, you sprung that one on me, didn't you? Words of wisdom.
That's the teaser for the next episode.
Again, as I said, I wouldn't advise anyone to follow my way of jumping in foot first with everything, because it can come back to haunt you. But you only live once, so fuck it. That's my attitude.
There you go.
And if you're going to do something, don't take criticism off someone who you wouldn't take advice from. That's my biggest.
That's a good one.
That is words of wisdom. Ooh. That's very good words of wisdom. All right. There's your next t-shirt. I'm just saying. That and, you know.
Let's be shit together.
So funny.